I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We've been talking about the playoff games, wild card weekend on Sunday, but also just have we been seeing a changing of the guard at quarterback, the Patriots dynasty, all of that. To break it down and dive a little bit into the Patriots and what might come next, we bring in Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe. Tara, actually, a lot of you should be familiar, longtime columnist from our area with The Record, and certainly has covered the Giants and Super Bowl teams. So an expert on as well, give a little perspective perhaps on the Giants head coaching situation. Tara, thank you for staying up with us.
Or getting up to be with you, as the case may be. But yes, my pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, before we dive into some of the bigger picture issues, one of the things, just as I was just about to come on the air, I was looking at the stats of the game again and thinking, I wanted to ask you, typically with Bill Belichick over all these years, we've always said Bill Belichick and defensively will take away, wants to take away one thing from you. And usually it is, of course, that one thing that you do best and then make you beat him some other way. In this case, Derrick Henry runs 34 times for 182 yards, and that would have been the one thing you would have expected. How is it that Belichick was just not able to do anything to stop that?
Well, I mean, first you have to credit Derrick Henry. I mean, mm-hmm. The guy is just a steamroller. He's that good, and, it, you know, it happens. It happens. How many years ago was it that Ray Rice did the same thing in mm-hmm. a wild card yep. situation, came up in Baltimore and ran all over them? Mm-hmm. Henry had 100 yards before halftime, and even in the press box, we were turning to each other, you know, when he went over the 100, like, what are they going to do? And it just, you know, I think what we learned about these Patriots is the defense, you know, was a statistical champ. You know, they had a lot of really good numbers, but it was a little bit of a paper tiger, you know, based on the strength of schedule and a lot of teams that they had played early. So things just got exposed, and they really didn't have the answers. They missed, you know, certain things, got Chung going out early, but you know, there's no one thing. They just I think Henry was just too good.
Now, the other thing typically with the Patriots that we all think is that even with all the evidence we saw all season that the Patriots' offense was really not that good, we always expect them to somehow find a way to get better in December, better end of the season, rise above come playoff time. You know, did you, even with the evidence all season that they were not that good, did you expect them somehow to be better on Saturday?
Well, sure. I mean, I think anybody's really, it's hard, like I was going to say lying if you don't, but it's not to make it so dramatic, but you're 100% right. With all these years with the Patriots, they've always sort of built that crescendo and gotten better as the season went on. And, you know, it was strange enough, obviously what we saw in them losing to Miami, it turned out to be, you know, exactly the warning that it was trying to be. And as it turned out, they just did not have that extra gear. They did the wherewithal to pull the offense together, and they just couldn't. They just couldn't do it. And it was shocking to me in that sense, because you're right. In these Belichick-Brady years, it always just seems that they have hit their stride when it matters most.
Now, was this a case of Tom Brady not being able to raise the level of play of everyone else around him? Or is this the, you know, there, in other words, did Brady fall off so significantly, or was the level of talent around him and the supporting cast just not even close to good enough?
If you ask me, it's the latter. I mean, they just did not have enough in the way of playmakers. There were so many things. First off, you know, you go back to Gronkowski retiring, over obviously, and then you come into the season and you lose your center right off the bat. He never plays. And then the offensive line really goes you know, through, listen, Giants fan know this story, but really went through a lot of injuries. And we saw the attempt to find playmakers at wide receiver from Josh Gordon that didn't work out. Obviously, Antonio Brown that didn't work out. Trading for Mohamed Sanu, and really he didn't bring nearly, I think, what they thought they were or hoping to get from him in the time that he was there. So, you know, is Brady as good as he was 10 years ago? No, but to me, they absolutely could have won this season with Brady. I don't think he was the problem. There were a few throws here and there, sailing, things you know, maybe you don't expect to see, but I don't think that's the major issue. He just did not have enough people to throw to, or really enough people that he trusted, because you know how Brady works. We talk about this kind of circle, you know, circle of trust, and Edelman just couldn't do it alone. There just weren't enough weapons, enough guys to get separation to be playmakers, guys you have to game plan against.
Yeah, and to me, one thing that was stark was watching DK Metcalf, a player that Seattle traded with New England to draft at the end of the second round, and you watch the role instead and had such a huge impact, 160 yards receiving on Sunday, and you watched N'Keal Harry for the Patriots. You know, I just wonder sometimes, like, about things like that. And had they, you know, just misjudged some of the players and the talent around Tom Brady? If I ask you to make a prediction, I know this is hard. Is Tom Brady playing next season or retiring? Is he playing? It sounded like he was, but is he playing next year?
Yeah, I think he's playing next year. I mean, unless, you know, his wife Giselle really convinces him not to play anymore, or something, you know, personal or family, maybe something like that. But if you had to ask me, is he playing? I think he's playing next year. Yes.
All right.
Where
now,
he's playing, I guess that's the question.
I was about to say, is he playing for the Patriots?
I've been wavering on this. I think yes. I just obviously it can happen otherwise. We've seen it. It's a business first and foremost, and you know, things end and it doesn't always work out, but it just doesn't make sense to me on either side that they don't figure something out. Like, does Brady really want to go to a new team and learn a whole new offense? And that, you know, does Robert Kraft really want to let him go play somewhere else and not play his entire career for New England? Because again, for me, it goes hand in hand with the fact that he's playing well enough to win you the game still. Like, I just don't, yes, he's not as good as he was, but I just don't think that he was the reason the offense wasn't that good. So to me, if you just fix the other stuff, you still absolutely could win with Brady. And then you're getting, you know, then when you flip over to the image side and all of that, like, I think the Patriots as a franchise would just suffer by letting, you know, by letting this end badly, if you will.
Talking to Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe, and you mentioned, does Brady want to learn a new offense? Well, some of that has been a consistent relationship with, his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, for most of the years he's been there. And do you think, is this the year finally that McDaniels leaves the Patriots and takes a head coaching job elsewhere?
It feels that way. Now, I wouldn't have been shocked the year with Indy, so I don't know. I mean, I could be reading the tea leaves wrong. As you know, we don't, you know, Fort Foxborough, we don't hear a lot of details coming out of there. But I, you know, by all indications, I think he certainly feels, you know, ready again after the Denver experiment, and, you know, maybe in some senses, how much more is there to accomplish for him in New England? He's still a young guy, so I would be a little surprised if he doesn't land one of the jobs this year.
You've obviously spent most of your career in the New York, New Jersey market. You know the teams here well. And for the Giants and for the media of this market, now covering in Boston the last couple of years with Josh McDaniels and who he is, his personality, is he a good fit for the New York Giants?
I think personality-wise, he'd be good. Now, again, we don't talk a lot, but he does a regular weekly, bi-weekly conference call where you get you'll get on with the reporters, and I think he's pretty good. I mean, he answers the questions a little long-winded, but he does answer questions. He doesn't shy away from things. He can be very interesting. You know, in Denver, it's hard to know, because what we saw in Denver was so really just bad, you know, and it just didn't work out. And there, it's not a media market like he would have to contend with in New York. But I can't imagine that he didn't learn an awful lot in the years in between. And we all know the story of his boss and Belichick kind of, you know, needing that second chance to kind of figure it out and learning so much from the mistakes he made the first time around. So I think McDaniels could absolutely succeed with the Giants.
Now, are you surprised the Giants are also supposedly interviewing Patriots special teams coach and wide receivers coach Joe Judge? This was an unexpected name to me. What can you tell us about Joe Judge?
Well, he just, listen, Belichick is a big guy on, you know, like bringing coaches just as much as the players, like a coach is through his own system. You don't often see him go outside of his own sort of tree, if you will, even in assistance, you know, to find other people. And Judge is somebody who's come along now in that, who seems to have a really good reputation, you know, outside as well, but also within the New England group. And I think, listen, special teams was arguably their best unit this year, really made a lot of game-changing plays. Mm-hmm. And even to trust them with the wide receivers, because that they had some guys leave last year. And you know, it just shows a lot when Belichick kind of trusts you to hold two positions like that. So, yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, I don't expect Judge to land one of these jobs, but I think it does tell you that he's an up-and-comer in the coaching profession.
Now, I have to ask you, just because we've seen people writing about this, but the rumor that Bill Belichick might consider leaving the Patriots for the Giants, is this more, you know, if I was giving you a scale of 1 to 10 and 1 is no chance in hell, what are the chances for Giants fans who are listening?
I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but I think it's like negative 10.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see it at all. I could not imagine Bill at his age. You know, he is such a builder of programs. You know, it's not something that happens in 1 year, and it's not something that translates, you know, just automatically take the blueprint, lift it up, move it over, and drop it on top of a new franchise. Like, he has to build from the top all the way down. I just don't see him taking that on. I know there's an emotional connection to the Giants. I get it. I was around in the 80s too, and I understand, and the, you know, looking at it from afar and just thinking how great it would be. But I could not imagine Belichick just undertaking that kind of a drastic change. What I see more for him, I think there's an appeal even more so if Brady were to leave, say they can't work that out, you know, to kind of stay with my system, prove that I can win no matter who the quarterback is here.
Yep. How desirable, now that you have a little perspective, you're up there in Boston, you've left our area, how desirable do you think is the Giants job? You know, from an external perspective, how much luster has this job or this organization lost?
It's such a good question. And it's impossible not to notice just how that reputation for stability and that sort of model franchise has really taken such a hit in these last half dozen years or whatever it's been. I mean, it's people around the league have absolutely noticed it. But I do think the one thing that coaching candidates look for above all is like a good owner, somebody that you can work with and somebody, you know, that is honorable in the way they do the work. It's why, you know, the Washington job is crazier still, or the Cleveland job. Like, those are still worse jobs than the Giants. Mm-hmm. I do think the Mara name, deservedly so, you know, just still carries a ton of cachet among the coaching fraternity. So they shouldn't have that hard of a time getting a top candidate. What I don't understand is just sort of, it all seems a little haphazard to me. The number of names, they don't seem to have people targeted. Like, why are you firing one and keeping the other again, and why do you not have a list in your pocket that tells you who you're going after? Like, to me, it just seems the Giants are taking shots in the dark, and that's something that seems surprising to me given how the franchise was when I covered it, or, you know, even what I see in New England.
Excellent point. We will get to that. Is this a shot in the dark, and who should be at the top of the Giants coaching search? I'll be getting to that when I come back. But Tara Sullivan, appreciate the time. Get some sleep.
Yeah, will do. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.